People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic. There'd be a lot of poop in my pants.
Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back, my brothers.
Whoa.
To Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Hallelujah.
I was just saying, you sound like a televangelist.
Yeah, I was going for Southern Baptist.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing like Benny Hinn.
I don't know any of the televangelists.
Oh, okay.
Most of them aren't good people. I'm going to...
No,
like Joel Osteen or whatever.
Yeah, he's one of them. Benny Hinn did just renounce. He said, I believe in the faith. I don't believe in the gimmicks anymore. He's trying to like...
Rebrand himself?
Kind of. He's like really old and he's trying to repent.
Is that the one, the scary one?
No, that's Kenneth Copeland.
Oh my gosh.
That looks like the devil.
He has a... Oh, wait. Don't ruin it. I have buttons for today's episode.
Actually, this is very... It is funny you're doing that. Yeah. I didn't make the connection till just now.
Yeah.
Because literally that guy does look like...
That's why I was doing the
whole of the televangelist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back to the Corn Podcast. That's pretty... I'm the great and powerful mystery. We're a bunch of idiots.
And I'm J-Clone 81.
Me, moo, pee, pee, pee.
I used to be a televangelist.
Did you?
J-Clone 81 did.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. Just checking. Now, before we get rocking and rolling into today's amazing episode, I want to make it very clear. It is 101 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. We're in a room with we're not running an AC just for you people to have better audio.
Right.
Listening.
I think the 100 degrees, or it's also known as hot.
I did not know what you were saying.
Hot.
It sounded like a turkey dying.
Yeah, it basically is.
Yeah, or I just sprayed my turkeys with water to cool them down. So before we get rocking and rolling... T-shirt contest is over. Congratulations to the winners. We're recording this in the past, so we don't know who won. But make sure you can check out all those amazing rocking T-shirts on the website. Get them while you can. They're great. There was tons and tons of amazing entries.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I think between this episode and when they actually come out, I have bought every one of them as a T-shirt.
Nice.
But yeah, I love them all. They're amazing. So thank you guys so much. Speaking of the T-shirts online, we sell T-shirts. Everybody... Go support us if you can do buy-in t-shirts. It's great. It's a lot of fun. I love seeing him out there. We will be switching t-shirt companies on the website soon. Most of you will not notice any difference, but the t-shirt company, the dropshipper we use, is closing, and we're going to have to find a new one in the next several months. Right. It's going to be a little bit, but we're going to have to find one.
We got some time, but
yeah,
time is a fleeting.
Yes. So check that out. Patreon, if you can come and join us on our Patreon, the links are down below. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. It's the best way to support the show. You can do $3 a month is our lowest tier. We greatly appreciate it. But there's tons of awesome stuff on there, including Discord hangouts, movie nights, game nights. You get some of the higher tiers, there's like minifigures that go out twice a year. There's Patreon exclusive t-shirts you get for free twice a year.
Yep.
There's all kinds of really awesome, cool stuff on there. You get to hang out with us.
Yeah,
we just also give away tickets for events on there first. Yep. Pre-sale stuff always goes there first, discounts, all kinds of stuff. So check out our Patreon. I don't shop or soapbox it enough, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go.
Patreon or even our page or our member space at uncryptedlycorn.com. Same content, just cuts out the middleman.
If you don't like Patreon.
Right, yeah.
I prefer you using Patreon.
Yeah.
But if you don't like Patreon, you have issues with it, we have a member space also.
Correct.
It's the exact same levels, tiers, you get the same stuff.
Yep.
All right. Check out the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
So yeah, I was going to say, if you join our Patreon, if you were part of our Patreon, you would have first access to tickets to the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
Well, they already did.
I said you would have had.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you would have had first access to the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree October.
Yeah, they got them 2 weeks early, I think.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah, they got the tickets 2 weeks early.
October 5th in Ada, Ohio.
Nor Ada Lanes
is the venue hosting the space. And we're going to have speakers, we're going to have music, we're going to have food, we're going to have vendors. It's just going to be a big, fun time in Northwest Ohio to learn about Bigfoot and hang out with like-minded Bigfoot lovers and enthusiasts. So yes, we're bringing this to Northwest Ohio. Crypts of the Corn podcast, yours truly, is putting it on for the first time ever. So it's first annual Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. Get all the info on our website, cryptsofthecorn.com, or on our Facebook page.
Yeah, Emily's running the Facebook page for the. Mm-hmm. It's been updated. She's doing vendor highlights, speaker highlights, all the
awesome.
Sponsor highlights. We're still looking for a couple sponsors if anybody wants to sponsor. All right, now Broken Branch Design, Jess, our friend, is one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
And Flavors of the Forest.
And Flavors of the Forest.
Sponsor the shows as well.
Absolutely.
New flavors are out there. Go get them.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so I think that's all of the preamble.
Yeah.
Now,
let's get into the meat and potatoes.
Today's episode's all about...
It's really cute that you're going to defeat me with the power of friendship and all, but again, I am the devil from the Bible.
The devil from the Bible.
The devil from the Bible.
Why do you always say it like...
Because that's why they do it in that little skit.
Oh, okay.
It's from like 2011 on YouTube. It's like a YouTube skit thing where these group of kids are going to defeat the devil with the power of friendship. And he's like the literal devil from the Bible.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
Yeah. Power of friendship is a powerful thing, though.
Yeah, it is. It's just funny. It always made me laugh. That's why I always said the devil from the Bible.
Right, yeah.
It's literally
that reference.
It's burnt into my head from over a decade ago.
But now we're doing an episode on it.
Yeah. So we're actually going to start with, like, saints versus the devil.
Okay.
Like, actual encounters with the devil that way. We're going to get into some modern-day devil encounters.
Okay.
And then we're going to get into sometimes Jesus ran into the devil.
All right.
So any questions?
Well, not yet.
All right, just remember, watch out.
It's really cute that you're going to defeat me with the power of friendship and all, but again, I am the devil from the Bible.
That button's going to get a lot of use today.
Pretty significant.
Yeah. So most dramatic and it's already started.
Yep.
3 hours of sleep last night, everybody. I'm walking around with a sledgehammer fighting raccoons and cats.
If you wanted to hear that story, hop over to Patreon. We just talked about it.
Killed a bunch of birds. Like, they killed a bunch of my birds.
Yes, I was going to say, you didn't kill any
birds. I didn't kill any birds. Some of the most dramatic and prevalent of supposed encounters with the devil through history are to do with the saints. Who are reported as not only having face-to-face with the Dark One, but have also done battle with him. One of our earliest accounts is from Saint Dunstan, who is a clergyman in England in the 10th century, eventually an Archbishop of Canterbury. He was considered to be many as a pious representative man of the cloth, as well as a musician, artist, and skilled mathematician.
Okay.
He was also said to have several accounts with the devil himself. So, oh, real quick, a little thing. Somebody, nothing, it's not bad, not bad, went through and corrected all my pronunciations on the Living Pterosaur episode.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you guys, if you do that, if you're new to this show, I have a learning disability. I mispronounce things. I don't read well. If you want to spend your time doing that, more power to you. You're going to get tired.
Yeah, and we both on this show already know that some things are mispronounced. We
know. Yes. You're not telling me anything we don't know.
Yeah, we're aware.
It's fine. If you want to do it. More power to you. Yeah. I'm just letting you know that if you're going to go through, and it doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Right, yeah. I think at least me on this side, in this chair over here, it's like I can figure out what you're saying. It's not hard, so.
Dunstain is the best way I Dunstain, St. Dunstain.
Okay.
One of St. Dunstain's first encounters with Satan was allegedly while he was living in Glastonbury as a hermit.
Ah.
Another thing is it's all the UK names.
Yeah.
And they're like, how come you can't pronounce the UK names?
Because they're written and pronounced
Glastonbury.
Wrong. Yeah.
I'm from America where we both speak English. They're very different.
Oh, that's for sure.
It's like Spanish in Spain and Spanish in Mexico.
I think so.
Yeah, it is. No, they're very different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't comment.
One day, a mysterious stranger approached him and requested of him and his metalsmithing powers to make a clance for him. I don't know what a clance is. Dunstain agreed and set to work making the requested item. But as he did so, he noticed that the stranger was changing forms right before his eyes, going from a man, a woman, a child, flowing from one form to the other.
Hmm.
A shapeshifter.
Yeah.
It became clear that it was the devil himself, but Dunstain tried to act as if he had not noticed anything, continuing on his work as if nothing was amiss. Then when the chance presented itself, he reportedly grabbed a pair of red-hot tongs out of the fire and grabbed the intruder's nostrils, grabbed the devil by the nose, which caused a great scream of pain and cast the devil out.
You think that wouldn't hurt the devil, being like he's lives in fire?
Well, maybe like it rules the clown.
Okay.
That it takes on the physical characteristics of whatever form it's in.
Okay.
So that's when they can beat the clown to death. It's because he's just a clown.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
He's an all powerful cosmic entity.
Right. Yeah.
But when he's in the form of a clown, he has the physical attributes of a clown.
Gotcha.
So if he's in the form of a man, he may have the physical attributes of a man at the time.
Gotcha. Okay.
However, the devil is not so easily disturbed. He came to visit Dunstain again on another occasion as well. This time, he was playing a harp from Georgia, a golden harp.
Yeah, I made that. That's a fiddle, by the way.
This time the devil came up as a filthy, smelly vagrant. But Dunstain was immediately aware of who he really was. As a stranger approached, Dunstain allegedly grabbed him by the leg and began shooing him as if you might do with a horse. Nailing a horseshoe to his cloven hoof. So a lot of these stories from the olden days, the devil, the one thing he can't change is his feet.
Yeah, it's always got the, yeah.
And there's some card stories we may talk about later in the episode and stuff like that of literally, there's a famous cowboy encounter with the devil. And I may have it later in the script. I can't remember. This is a big script.
Yeah.
Where basically he peeked, like they were playing cards and a stranger sat down. One of the old timers is like, you know, looked under the table.
Yeah.
And seen hoofs and just stood up and walked away.
Yeah.
And the rest of them kept playing cards. And he knew that everybody that night was going to lose their souls.
Yeah.
So as a stranger, yeah. So he flipped him over, nailed horseshoes on his hoofs. The devil supposedly screamed in agony and agreed to be released from this condition, that he would never again approach the house with the horseshoe hanging over the doorway. So this became why we started hanging horseshoes over the doorway.
Keep the devil out.
Keep the devil. And this would later tie into fae legend and lore as well. It was partly due to St. Dunstain repeatedly warding off the devil that we eventually made him a saint.
Mm. Okay.
So, yeah. That's kind of our first little one.
Yeah.
Two encounters with the devil, grabbing the devil by the nose of the tongue. But you see this shape-shifting entity, which is a famous thing. And we're using the devil from the Bible as, you know, kind of the gimmick for the episode. But the ultimate evil, I guess, is kind of also the topic. You see this a lot in a lot of folklores and mythologies and religions on the planet. The great one, the dark one, whatever,
yeah,
is often a shape-shifting entity.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't really matter which religion you're in. But your big bad guy is often a shapeshifter.
I agree, yeah.
So, yeah, so that's just something that's interesting. So he was watching him. So do you think he was, do you think the devil was shapeshifting on purpose, or do you think that was something because he was such a godly man he got privy to?
That he got, he was able to see it?
Yeah, he was able to see it.
Hmm, good question. I don't know.
Because we talk about a lot of these paranormal entities, like they almost force you not to pay attention to them.
Okay.
You remember, like, we've talked about the Fae and the Shadow People, the Mirrored Men. And stuff like the, more demonic line of entities.
Yeah.
Like, you almost don't want to pay attention to them.
Because it's so uncomfortable to,
So what if that was, he was just able to see it?
I mean, it could be, if especially if he's, but was he such a godly man after this thing, or was he always?
He was always a godly man.
He just wasn't a saint.
You don't become a saint until you're dead.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not Catholic.
I don't know.
Nobody.
Either. I'm not Catholic.
Why don't you look up what you have to do to become a saint?
Okay.
I'll put that, you'll put you on research today.
There we go.
Another saint who apparently had some fights or frightening encounters with the devil was an Italian saint. Okay. Here's my first name of the day.
Okay.
Poe of Pichacinale, which is a place. But his name is Poe. P-I-O.
Okay.
Or Pi. I'm going to go with Poe.
How is it? P-I-O?
Yeah.
Pio?
Pio, okay. Uh-huh. St. Pio, also commonly known as simply as Bernardo Pio, who was practically known for exhibiting the stigmata for most of his life. Pio was also well known for frequently and apparently often quite violent battles with the devil himself. On one occasion, a farer found him laying bloodied and bruised in his quarters, and when Pio was questioned, he said he had been attacked by either Satan or one of his many demons, which had left him with several broken ribs. In 1906, one night, Pio heard footsteps coming from the next room, which he took to be those of his friend. He went to the window and tried to call for an invitation over for a chat, but found no sound would issue forth from from his mouth. Then he noticed that a large black hound was sitting menacingly upon the nearby window ledge. He supposedly said this, and this is what happened. I saw a big dog enter through the window, and there was smoke coming from its mouth. I fell into the bed, and I heard a voice of the dog, and in that it said, "Him is him. It is him." While I was sitting on the bed, the animal jumped on the ledge of the window, and then a roof, and then disappeared.
Mm.
So even when we look at stuff like the Leeds Devil,
yeah,
remember they would cough and like this cacophony of voices, like you be cursed and stuff like that. It was always very, very cryptic, curse-like messages.
Yes.
So that's kind of what he gets off of this wolf-like entity.
Saying it's him.
But black fog or smoke.
Around it? Like
pouring
like
out of its mouth.
Yeah, like an aura it's emitting out of it.
So to me, it's like Shadow People. Like that's the best way I think I could describe it. Maybe he was lacking the words we had today.
Right.
But like blacker than black, like, you know, Shadow People, they don't look like mist is kind of the best way anybody can describe them, because some parts you can see through them.
Right. Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if that's the same thing.
It sounds like it. But and this is in 1908, I think you said. So, I mean, that's not even 120 years ago, roughly. I mean,
and I want to he had hospital records for all these injuries.
Oh, OK. Gotcha.
So this isn't, we're not talking like the first guy was 10th century.
Yeah.
You know.
So, you do become a saint after death.
Right.
So that was correct.
You have to have, is it two verified miracles?
Oh, I didn't look that far into it. You're probably right, but someone at home can do that.
I think it's two verified miracles.
Okay. It says you have to, either way, just letting you know. But, with this one, you know, with this happened 100 years ago, you know, and you've had your encounter with shadow people, you know, and it just,
mine felt fully demonic. Anybody that's only on Patreon. My full shadow person encounters.
See its feet?
I didn't know. No, I didn't. But fully demonic, in my opinion.
Yeah,
we've had people on the show that don't feel the same way about their shadow people entities.
Right,
and
we've
talked about it, that we think that the shadow doesn't necessarily mean good or bad.
Correct.
It's the way your brain kind of puts a thing on something you can't describe.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I don't. And is the shadow effect, you know, a demonic quality, or is it just like you said, your brain's telling of it, or, you know, interpreting it and telling you, like, this is what I'm seeing, but it's just like, it can't picture it. So it puts that dark shadow. Is it just that, or is it just the qualities of being a demonic
being? I think being? Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha. I really do. I really think it's probably both. I think
demonic
entities are probably very black, misty figures, but also non-dangerous paranormal entities may also have that feature.
Right, true.
I think it means extraplanal.
It's the void.
Things
from the void.
Not from our visible light spectrum.
Right, yeah.
You know, everything, the 95%, not the 5.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. This sort of encounter would allegedly occur in Pio's life. The devil and other demons would assault him, dragging him from his bed, striking him, tossing him about the room. On one occasion, he kept from sleeping and banging the walls and the floor. He even began to spat upon from unseen presences. Witnesses would see him get spit on him from nowhere.
It's like from, you ever watch Seinfeld?
No. Yeah, but a long time ago.
They did an episode where Kramer got spit on by a baseball player, but they did it like the JFK assassination. They didn't know where the spit came from. That's just what it reminded me of.
These attacks would intensify to the point they came to nearly nightly basis. The devil came from him from all guises, apparently the purpose of tricking, tempting, or bludgeoning the man. One night, his friend said this to validate these forms. The devil would appear to him as an ugly, sick, black cat, or in the shape of a truly repugnant animal, indescribable.
Yeah, like a cave goat or something.
Listen to Freaky Fauna Friday. Yes, the cave goat is the devil. This obviously intent was to fill with terror. Other times, demons came as very young girls, nude and provocative, performing very vulgar dances to test the young priest's chastity.
Mm-hmm.
The Pio sensed his greatest danger was the devil tried to deceive him by taking on the form of one of his superiors.
Okay.
His providential superior or his spiritual director were the two people directly above him.
Above him, yeah.
In sacred form of Lord, the Virgin, or Saint Francis himself.
Okay. Ooh.
So they would appear as other saints.
Yeah.
Or the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
And act like. And then it was the devil, and it was the devil in disguise, because he is.
It's really cute that you're gonna defeat me with the power of friendship and all, but again, I am the devil from the Bible.
That's interesting, you know, because I think, from what I know, because I'm not Catholic or nothing, or, you know, believing in, not believing, but just knowing anything about saints in general, I don't know.
It's not, saints are a weird thing because it's not for most of Christians, like a lot of other Christians, like. I don't have a denomination. If I had to pick one, I'd say I'm mostly Brethren, but I don't follow denominational charts.
Yeah.
So we don't have saints.
Right. I mean,
I think they're probably, most of them are probably really great people that did good things.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Like Saint Nick. I mean,
I think anybody can do miracles.
We still talk about him.
Yeah. I think anybody can do miracles. I don't think you have to be a saint or be saintly worthy to do miracles.
Or a televangelist.
Or a televangelist.
Because they did a lot of miracles and... Actually, that's so weird that we're doing this because I watched a documentary last night about this televangelist that was, but even they would do things and people would do it like they would fall over, you know, but it was almost like a placebo effect. They were doing it because the crowd was doing it. It's just
Have
weird.
Have you ever been to? Okay. So this is nothing to do directly with that, but like the energy in like one of those rooms.
Yeah. Like I haven't personally been involved in it. But what I've seen, you can see it, like on TV, you can see it. It's full of energy. You know, when you get a whole stadium full of people, it's no different than being like at a football game, you know, like a college football game, like that's jam-packed and everyone's just going nuts. One big group starts chanting, or just for example, it's just like the Ohio – if you've ever been to an Ohio State football game, at a home game in specific. No, even away games, they do it. You get enough people together, they'll do the O-H-I-O chant on all four sides of the stadium, and the whole stadium just starts doing it. It's a cool phenomena, you know, to see, to be part of.
Yeah. So, back to this.
Yeah.
The devil was supposedly partly infatuated by Pio's work as an exorcist, and apparently been cast out many times by this man.
Okay.
So, again, they don't know if they're talking about the devil or
just demonic. His demons. Yes. His henchmen. That's what I call them.
Yeah, which is what they are.
Yeah.
So, he his never cronies. Claims, like, he only claims a couple times, I think, in this whole real story, like, the devil himself.
Yeah.
But demonic entities a lot attacked him. But he was also an exorcist, a certified exorcist, which is not, it's like, there's certain people in the Catholic Church.
Right.
And they take it very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And I know, because there were some bad exorcists around this time, is when some kids died from starvation and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Due to some mental illness. So now I know it's really strict to where the first visit with an exorcist is always with a psychologist.
Yeah.
And like if it's schizophrenia or something like that, the exorcist would be like, all right, no, this is a psychologist matter.
Yeah, it's not his, yeah.
Yeah. So I know they take it probably wasn't, I'm not saying people didn't take it seriously back then. I guarantee there were. But with the modern day ability to check in on more priests and more like people, it's easier to keep everybody in check.
Right, yeah.
And if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Better records.
Yeah.
Easier communication.
So he cast the devil out many times. Indeed, they had possessed people would often immediately recognize Pio when he arrived, would assault him brastically, bratting, cursing at him, stroking profanities in vile favor. So this happened a lot with Pio. Like, people he didn't know, he'd go to do an exorcist, would recognize him, start screaming at him. Uh-huh. Because it was one of the demons he'd already casted out.
And yes, okay.
So this is what another Father Tresco of Caravari says. More than once, before leaving the body of the possessed, the devil has shouted, Pio, you give us so much trouble, or you give us more trouble than Saint Michael. Also, Father Pio, do not steal the bodies from us. We will not bother you anymore if you leave us.
Mm. Okay.
So they're trying to strike deals with
him. Exactly. Cutting a deal.
That's
a deal with the devil.
The devil from the Bible cuts a lot of the deals.
Gotcha.
The devil supposedly taunt Pio in other ways as well, including sending an actual letter that appeared as merely scoffs across the page until holy water was sprinkled upon it and the characters became legible. So it just looked like scorch marks.
Yeah.
And on this page, and then they put holy water in it, they could read it.
Came words?
By 1964, yes, Pio was relatively bad health, getting weaker in the face of such assaults. One attack in 1964 left him severely injured. He had a bruised spine, numerous cuts, but by the time Pio was at peace and confident in his ability, it ultimately kept the devil at bay, holding no fear towards the exultimate demon's force. He would say this in his final days. The human soul is the battlefield between God and Satan. The devil is like a rabid dog tied to a chain. Beyond the length of the chain, he cannot seize you anymore. And you, keep a distance. If you approach too near, you let yourself be caught. These devils don't stop striking me, even making me fall down from this bed. They even tear off my shirt and beat me. But now they do not frighten me anymore. Jesus loves me. He often lifts me and places me back into bed.
Yeah.
So this was literally, this is one of the cool ones because there's doctors stuff for all this.
Yeah, documenting it, yeah. Like making it.
Up until pretty modern day, 1964 is modern.
Absolutely. I mean, making it credible. All this stuff's credible.
And I'm not saying the 10th century, 9th century ones aren't credible, I guess.
Right.
They're harder to prove.
Absolutely.
So joining the ranks of the saints, reportedly having rather demonic. I'm going to Saint Gamma.
Are you going to the next saint?
So what do you think of this Saint Pio?
Hey, there's a lot.
Bit of his life.
Life, yeah. I bet there's a book or a story of his life that's very interesting.
Several really cool books.
But it's a good. I like that line at the very end. I think that's very good and not just. I mean, for modern times, I think the devil is literally everywhere to draw you into that leash.
Like, every form, and, all kinds of forms. Yeah.
And it's recognizing what is and what isn't. Like, what's the lure? What's the trick being played on you?
100%. Because the devil has no power over you unless you give him power.
Correct, yeah.
So if you don't step, as long as you don't step in that dog's leash.
Right, yeah. So, and
he can't bite you.
I think the only applying to modern times is the biggest deception is knowing what is in that leash, so to say. Like, what is temptation from the devil, now? Because it's hard to separate things anymore. Mm-hmm. What's good, what's bad?
So I think it's Gema. This is my next saint.
Okay.
It's G-E-M-M-A.
Gema or Gemma? I don't know.
I'm going to go Gema.
Okay.
Joining the ranks of the saints who reportedly had rather demonic and dramatic encounters with the devil is Saint Gima in the late 19th century, who truly believed that Satan was waging a personal war against him. According to this is the book, The Light of Saint Gima, by Father Garmatius C.P., his own diaries of the devil, who was very oppressed, was very obsessed with her and intended on attacking her. One of the devil's favorite tactics against her was reportedly assaulting her with terrible headaches, racking her in agony to the point that she couldn't concentrate to pray. But he was not able to directly physically attack her. On one occasion, the devil reportedly came to her as a writing alone and dragging her from the table by her hair with such violence it came off as brutal claws.
Mm.
She wrote this about her attack. "The devil in the form of a giant black dog put his paws upon my shoulders, making every bone in my body ache. At times I believe it would mangle me. At one time, when I was taking holy water, he twisted my arm so cruelly, I fell to the earth in great pain. After a while, I remember that I had around my neck a relic of the Holy Cross. Making the sign of the cross, I became calm. Jesus let himself onto me, but only for a short time. He strengthened me and allowed me to renew my suffer and struggle." So it allowed her to get back up. "Partially terrifying and violent encounters with the devil was written in her diaries thus. The demon came for us as a giant of great height and kept saying, 'For there is no hope of salvation. Thou art in my hands.' I replied that God is merciful and therefore I fear nothing. Then giving him a hard blow on the head in rage, he said, 'Accused be you,' and then disappeared."
Wow, so, what's that mean?
Yeah, the dog, but putting its giant paws on her shoulders. I must get dog man vibes.
Yeah.
Giant black dog.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot.
Well, there's that one story of a, I don't remember where it was, but it was the, gosh, I think it was one person. There was like a story of them, you know, following the tracks home from work, and they'd always pass the cemetery, and the one time, it was like a kind of like a dog man like presence in the cemetery that felt like it was the devil.
Yeah,
that's what they described. And then it was following them, but once it reached the edge of the cemetery, it stopped. It just didn't follow him past that point. I don't know.
So continuing on, she said, "I went to my room to rest, and then I found him. He began again to striking me with knotted rope. Wanted me to listen to him why he suggested wickedness. I said no. He struck me even harder, knocking me in the head violently against the ground. At a certain point, it came to my mind to invoke Jesus Father, Eternal Father, through the most precious blood of Jesus, free me. I then don't quite know what happened. The beast dragged me from the bed and threw me, hitting my head against the floor with such force and pain, it pains me still. I became senseless, remained there lying there until it came to me a long time after. Jesus be thanked. At this time, the devil supposedly took a form of people she knew and trusted. At one point, the body of a priest, trying to trick her into confessing to him. Another time, even appearing as a vision of an angel. None of these refused scene have worked. And that's the same thing happened with Pio. Saint Germain never did let the devil get the better of her and showed strong will throughout the proposed encounters. She wrote this at this point. For days, Kenepo, which is what she called the devil, Chinapo, had pursued me with Gaius in every way. It became a well-known power against me. The monsters kept redoubling all my efforts to ruin me and tried to deprive me of any whatsoever direct of contact or to advise me. But then this should happen. I am not afraid." So, yeah. So it did everything it was given her. First started with just physical, headaches and stuff. And then getting full-blown apparitions attacking her.
And throwing her to the ground.
Yeah.
On her head.
Yep. What do you think of that one?
Not good. I mean,
none of these are good. I'm just going to...
Yeah. Oh, no. I think any encounter with the devil is probably not good, unless you're probably a Hollywood actor.
Well, no. Yeah. If you're there to sign a contract, you know, it's a little different.
Yeah.
No, he puts out a next table, some champagne, cigars...
And Kevin Spacey's like, "Ooh, yes, more, please."
It's not only saints that supposedly come face to face with the sinister, dark face of the devil. Such reports can be found throughout history. In 1683, there was a particular incident with a mysterious visitor dressed in all black and apparently had cloven hoofs instead of feet. came to Travestock Inn in Poundsgate, England, upon the black steed, and asked for directions to Wubbacombe in the morrow. No, and the people that pick on me for trying to, and sorry, Wubbacombe in the morrow in Dartmoor.
If I didn't know you were talking about places, I wouldn't know what the heck you're just saying.
Wide coma? Wubbacombe? I have no idea how it's pronounced.
I don't know either.
Wubbacombe? Wide-a-coma?
I mean, if you let
in
me.
In the moor, like, that's all one word.
Right, yeah.
In Dartmoor. The frightened staff did what they were asked to do. And a few days later, a ball of fire appeared to smash into a nearby church of St. Pancras and bounce about wildly, supposedly killing a few people and a dog. Although this had been blamed on an eerie bit of ball lightning, some people said that it was the power of the devil.
Stop. So, someone said it was ball lightning back in the 1600s.
No, modern. So, okay. I'm gonna go over this.
I just about had a. I was like, no. But now I get it.
So, this tavern, this guy, this huge guy, all dressed in black. He had cloven hoofs for feet.
Right.
He came in on a giant black horse. He came to this tavern. He got a room, stayed for several days, was eating there, drinking there. Everybody did exactly what they were told. Nobody messed with him. At the end of his visit, a giant ball of fire crashed into a church, bounced around, killed a lot of people and a dog. This is a historical event. Everybody can look up. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
Modern day people said this had to be ball lightning.
Gotcha.
Not the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
from the Bible.
It was a trebuchet from the guy town nearby, and he was
that could be some drunk guy from north of Dartmoor is like
testing it out, and it goes flying. Uh-oh. Just launched a fireball into a church. Oops.
Another account from the 12th century comes from an imprisoned monk who was condemned to walled up the building unless he could complete an enormous religious work in a single night. It was, of course, proved to be an impossible task. The expressed monk called upon the devil himself to help him. Conveniently, the devil actually appeared. And this has happened a lot. So this is me talking. This happened a lot in history.
Yeah.
Like, if you are actually desperate enough to sell your soul, the devil will show up.
Yeah.
And it's normally not for anything. So he had to, like, so he was copying a book is what he was doing.
Okay.
He had to do it one night. It was an impossible task given so they could execute him in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I know this story. Yeah. Maybe we talked about off air.
I think Patreon. We actually brought it up on a Patreon night.
Okay.
Because it comes, because you know the book.
Right, yeah.
Because the book's very famous in our Patreon group.
That's true, yes.
Had proved to be an impossible task. The devil actually appeared. Offered to finish the entire text on schedule in exchange for the monk's soul in an illustration of his dark concernance within its pages. The monk accepted the entire text was finished on time. The tome would go on to be known as...
Something Gigas.
The Codex Gigas.
Codex Gigas, yes.
Also known as the Devil's Bible.
The Devil Bible. This is that...
An enormous book.
Yeah.
It is 36 inches tall, 19.7 inches wide, and almost 9 inches thick, and weighs 165 pounds.
That's a big book.
Making it the largest known medieval manuscript. This is probably the largest book done by hand ever.
You really? Okay.
As far as one single book?
Yeah. I thought I'd seen pictures.
Maybe it's not. That's just one thing I seen somebody talking about.
Yeah.
Because it was done in a night.
I'm very well. Yeah, exactly. If anyone does not know, I mean, you could Google it, but I'm sure the picture, there's a picture depiction of the devil from the Bible in this book.
There
is. That he illustrated himself. I don't know, but it's an illustration of the devil in this book. You probably have seen that photograph.
Doesn't it look like the Avatar creatures?
Mixed with Aku from Samurai Jack. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
The book is fashioned around 160 animal skins, containing 310 known pages, containing testaments of the Vulgate Bible, various medical texts, a sort of encyclopedia, a calendar, magical spells, a text on exorcism, among others, mostly penned in Latin and also a few Hebrew, Greek, and Slavic alphabets, prominently displayed in the notorious illustrations of the devil. Within several pages leading up to the display, The black and hue is streak contrast among the other pages in the book. It's really like really colorful book until you get to where the devil is.
Yeah, it's yes.
Although the legend states that it was penned in a single night, analysis shows it was actually done around to take 5 years. And this is ink drying thing. I don't know either way. It doesn't matter to me. There's some details. The context is the text. It holds many enigmas. The malicious handwriting, or the meticulous handwriting, is amazing uniform throughout, especially a single scribe.
So
it's the exact same
handwriting.
Person did this.
You know what? We should have Daryl Sims
come on and analyze the codex.
Yeah, see what he would.
He'd be the devil from the Bible.
You think, what if he could tell, like, okay, no, there's no way.
This is a narcissist, and he just has to send him a script of it.
It's like, this ain't the devil. This is, I know what this is.
No, he probably would just give you it's a narcissist.
There's, right, yeah, this guy's got a psychological disorder, and he ain't getting,
the details became more mysterious in consideration that it's been speculated that the entire collection of texts within the Codex Sinaiticus pages, including the illustrations and illuminations, would have taken a single person around 5 years continuously, nonstop, all day, all night, never eating, to complete.
That's a big book.
So even if the writing analysts are correct, it's impossible.
Right, yeah, to do in one night.
No, in 5 years.
Oh, in 5 years. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they said it had to be written within 5 years with the way the ink and everything was.
Right, and no time for sleeping.
But they also agreed it was all one scribe.
What if now, what if back then he had an AI, no, like an AI like drawing machine?
He had the devil.
And that's why the scribe is perfect. Yeah. The devil's AI.
Well, we did that, evil AI. Yeah. That was an episode.
That's what he had.
Welcome to Cribs of Corn.
He was just sitting there programming it for 5 years. It was doing all the work constantly.
So all day, all night. A realistic estimate for creating this entire thing for one scribe to do is 25 years for a single individual. And that is working 10 to 12 hours a day.
Which, that I can believe. I would believe that.
The 5 years.
Not the 5 years, no. I could believe some guy, like, especially a monk, dedicating his time to doing that. Absolutely, could do that.
This is practically impressive, as the handwriting shows no sign of being determined or being influenced by age, disease, or mold of the writing.
That's also
never
impressive.
Deviating through the vast tome of text. Equal pressure was put on the entire time of the text. It is almost like a machine did it.
I was kind of joking earlier, but now I'm not.
Well, I still think it was the devil, and just it's magical.
Let's just say this too. Back in there's things about our history that they're a little deceiving, and they found like old
It's not a robot. Automatons.
Yeah, they found automatons. They have automatons.
Automatons are different. I don't remember the actual definition between an automaton and a robot. I think it's power source.
Probably, yeah. Automaton is like self. Gears. It's just self driven, and it will perform a certain task that. You don't, I don't know, just like there's a story of an old temple in India, like they uncovered on Earth. And when they opened the vault door and they were walking through it, there was one flame that was still lit inside, like an eternal flame kind of. And when they opened the door, they seen the flame, it was still lit. And when they took one step inside, they triggered like a mechanism. And they said on the other end of the room, automaton stood up with like a big sword. Walked right to the middle of the room where the flame was and wham, hit it and shattered it. So it was complete pitch blackness in there. And I don't know. It was an interesting story.
Adding to the bizarre nature of the manuscript is the fact that around 10 pages are missing, having apparently been intentionally removed over centuries ago. Although it is unknown for what purpose, it has been theorized that these missing pages could have information that was deemed well too dangerous to fall into the hands of mere mortals, that the pages were stolen for nefarious purposes, or simply found to be offensive some long time ago from one or other owners of the book and ripped out.
I'm more with you on the it was stolen out of there because to keep information or knowledge from people.
The devil, I mean, has very much like in this book, very much like Japanese art style looks to it.
Yeah.
For not being anywhere near Japan.
Mm-hmm. Or just definitely Asian influence.
Asian influence. But yeah. I'm thinking of some Yamagunis and stuff. I don't think it's the right word. I think I just said the wrong word.
That's the place off the coast of Japan where
Yamaguni.
Yeah, or Yonaguni.
I forgot the name of the Japanese cryptids, the weird ones.
Oh, the yokai.
Yokai.
Or? Yeah,
has a very like some of these yokai looks to it.
Yeah, definitely.
The mysterious text is also said to be cursed and bring misfortune and death. It comes to the rest of the National Library of Sweden in Stockholm. Where?
In Sweden.
Well, yeah.
What, Stockholm? Mm-hmm. You where Pear lives.
Yeah.
Our friend Pear, friend of the show.
Does all the art for the show. And the intros.
And the intro. And Freaky Fauna Friday intro and outro.
He has the outro voice.
Outro. Freaky Fauna Friday. Yeah, check that out. Friday nights, Crypts of Corn puts it on. Freaky Fauna Friday, every Friday.
So, yeah. There is actually another mysterious text that is said to hold the devil's actual handwriting. In 1523, an Italian manuscript tells of meeting with the devil of Ladvaco Spornoto, who supposedly summoned the Dark One in order to help him write a series of answers to questions that he had asked himself. So although the devil supposedly was merely used the man as a vessel, he reportedly got frustrated, grabbed the pen with his own hand, and wrote everything down himself.
Ah.
He was done with this guy, and he got so mad that this guy was an idiot.
Yeah.
He just like...
This was the devil?
Yeah.
I'm That's funny, though.
It's like... I'm thinking of people that I'm like, yeah, the devil would get really annoyed.
That's what's funny. Like, imagining the devil, like, gosh, like getting so annoyed he just does it himself.
The rest of the strange mishmash of characters and letters have not been decoded since. Although there have not been found hints that contain Aramaic, language spoken is purely the proven of Aramai, Ethiopia. It's true the sample of the handwriting of the devil. Who knows? Ready for some more?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take an ad break?
Ooh.
Which one you want?
And just play a new one.
I can't remember which ones we have and which ones we haven't played. So let's try
this one.
Let's try this one. So, Jay, I just heard the Flavors of the Forest crew just did an expedition to the Lovelock Caves.
In Nevada?
Home of the red-haired giants.
Oh, did they discover a red-headed giant?
Nope. They discovered something even better.
A ginger of another sort?
A ginger of another sort. Now coming out very soon, Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath with Ginger.
A ginger flavor to add to my food?
Yes. It's coming very soon. Be on the lookout for these new flavors. Helped develop by maybe the Nephilim, maybe the Mountain Milders. All we know is they had red hair and they're gingers.
And it's delicious. And you can find this flavor and the other flavors on flavorsforest.com/corn.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm hungry. Is it lunchtime?
Yeah, it's the smoker's running. In the 18th century, there was also Giuseppe.
Yeah.
With a G?
Yeah, Giuseppe.
Giuseppe. Giuseppe Tartini was a violinist. He was a composer, a philosopher, a scientist, and a music theorist.
Wow.
Who was, he did such musical things such as Veretta Versace, who wrote and composed and performed over 200 violin concerts in sonatas over the course of his life. In 1765, Giuseppe had a dream in which he had claimed to have met the devil. In the dream, the devil had offered him to make him a well-known musician in exchange for his soul.
Mm-hmm.
To prove it was legit, the devil picked up a violin and proceeded to play a haunting tune that was magnificently vicious, which Giuseppe would say this of it. One night I dreamt that I had made a pact with the devil for my soul. Everything that went as I desired. My new servant accompanied me with my wishes. I had an idea of giving him my violin to see if he might play me some pretty tunes. But imagine my astonishment when I heard the Santa, as usual and so beautiful. What? Don't stop. Performed with such mastery and intelligence on the level I had never before conceived was possible. I was so overcome, I stopped breathing and woke up with a gasp. Immediately, I seized my violin, hoping to recall a shred of what I had heard, but it was in vain. The piece that I composed is without a doubt my best, and I can still call it the Devil's Santana, but it falls very short of the tune I heard in my dream that night.
Mm.
What?
I think I'm... Is this one a real account?
Yes.
Or is it this?
You think I made that up? Normally mine are stupid when I make them up.
Let me guess. Can I finish? Is there more of the story or is it keep going?
Yeah. There's more. But do you have something?
I just feel like this is very similar to like.
The devil went down to Georgia?
Yeah.
This is what it's from.
Oh, okay. I thought literally you were just going to tell this whole story and then start reading the lyrics from the song and be like, his account? Like, this is this guy.
Giuseppe was obsessed over the song he had heard the devil play in his dream, made a last approach sublime and on paper. Although he would not lament in the pale next to what he had heard the devil play, he would craft a composition that approximated it, but it would never be the same that he heard the devil play in his dream.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So this is the real version.
That's what some people actually associate it with.
It's very, very similar.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought. I'm like, wait a minute. Because I was going to make the joke earlier and do that and start reading the lyrics and see how long it took before you caught on, which would 2 seconds. But that's what I thought you were setting up here. I don't know. Sometimes you get that look in your eye. But funny thing here, though.
The look I got in my eyes because you were staring at me laughing.
Yeah, because I... No. It was before that. I don't know. I just thought, oh, he's setting something up. And then I was on guard, like, looking for it. But it's funny, though, because that's not the only time a musician has done that.
Like, tons of musicians. I mean, remember... Timothy Wayne Williams.
Yeah.
Talked about meeting the devil.
Yeah.
On the show.
Yeah.
And it was with a band.
Right, yeah.
Trying to sell them anything they wanted for their soul.
Yeah, right, exactly. Bob Dylan, very famous, and I like Bob Dylan. He was a Jew, born-again Christian, something like that. But he talks about how he made a deal with the devil to help his, to boost his... To get his career, I don't know. It's weird. Bob Dylan is a very cryptic man sometimes when he speaks, but you can find the interview with him doing that. But so that's one example. A second one I know off the top of my head is you know the song "Stairway to Heaven" by Led Zeppelin. I'm sure you've heard it before, but he talks about I can't remember the lead singer if it's Robert Plant. He might have been the guitarist. I don't remember. Either way, the one who wrote that song said that he didn't write it. That it was like he put the pen on the paper and the song wrote itself, like someone was writing it for him. And, you know, and it's kind of odd to me, like it might have been something maybe demonic doing that, ghost writing for him or through him. But then the when you were talking about all this, I'm just only doing these now because you brought up that guy was a musician. Yeah. This one, I'm going to read you. This is the song Black Sabbath by the band Black Sabbath. I'm sure you probably never heard it, have you?
Yes.
You've heard the song?
Yes.
Black Sabbath?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what it's about?
No.
So the song is about the guy, not Ozzy wrote it. I think the guitarist or the bassist wrote the song. He had an encounter. He was in his bed one night, and he felt a presence. And when he at the foot of his bed, he looked. There was a shadow, and the darker than dark shadow figure standing over his bed. And then he wrote the song. I'll read it real quick. Lyrics, there's only 2 verses, and that's it. There's not even a chorus. He says, "What is this that stands before me, figure in black, which points at me? Turn around quick and start to run. Find out I'm the chosen one. Oh, no." And then it says, "Big black shape with eyes of fire, telling people their desire. Satan's sitting there, he's smiling. Watches those flames get higher and higher. Oh, no, please God help me." And then it goes, and it's like very cryptic, dark. It's a scary song. Like, the song's very eerie and scary. It's like you're there with him. Hmm. And it's like this, but he says it's a true story. Like it was that happened to him. That's why he wrote it. It was like it scared him that much. And this back then, too, like in the 70s and 60s, 70s, there was kind of like a revolution through music where people were telling things that they're not allowed to talk about today.
Yeah.
And Black Sabbath was one of those bands. They talked about, you know, some pretty dark stuff, but they also talked about war and how evil the people that are controlling war. Around the world, like how evil they are. And you're not going to hear a major band, like prominent mainstream band, singing about stuff like this. You know, that normally when they talk, people talk about now, modern day, like sing about the devil being involved. They almost cast him in like not that bad of a light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, there's, There's tons
of... We've talked about it.
Evangelizing for the devil.
Absolutely.
There's literally, like, shows on Netflix, like, that are cartoons that are all in hell, and hell's not that bad, and stuff like that.
And then you got bands like in the, like, Black Sabbath, where you think of, are there probably, like, devil worshipers? He's talking... They're talking about how, like, bad and scary it is. Like, no. Like, I don't want this around me.
I went to the same... I'm sure I know the other story. I went to the same Christian camp as Marilyn Manson.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's instance.
Because what's his real name? Brian something?
Maybe, I don't know for sure. I think you're right.
His name's still on one of the rocks there.
That's nuts.
All the kids have to, don't have to, but you sign the rock wall.
Yeah,
there,
it's just a tradition.
His name's still there.
That's nuts.
I won't say the name of it because it's a little tiny Christian church camp.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't.
No, don't. Yeah, don't associate them with Marilyn Manson. But
because it's like 20 minutes. No, I mean, they don't care. They know. They talk about it.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think they'd
But his parents. I don't know if they still are alive, but they live like 10 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
That's why it was the camp.
Always there, yeah.
No, yeah, there's a lot of evangelizing for the devil out there.
Yeah. I think it's cool, though, that there's something with music that is in people that... I mean, I think we talked
humans.
About that.
Music is human.
But just through the development of human beings, what significance does music play, you know, in our development? There's something there that...
I'm a big believer. It's information memorization.
Yeah.
Because it's you make little songs to remember things.
I think there's...
It's easier to remember big chunks of information when it's rhythmic.
Yes. Like good story, like parables and stuff like that. And I agree with that, but I think there's something more, too, with the rhythm and sound in general. Just sound waves. And when you sing, like it's different than talking.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know if it has more power, but there's just something with sound. And I think music is in general, like it, sound can put music I think can put spells over people and just laying that rhythm. And like Aborigines, you know, they sing songs, you know, and they play music to get into like a trance state, to connect with like a higher power. And so there's something there too, music. It's connecting you with other things. I think you're subconscious to things of higher power that you may not be, you know, and I think that's of good things. And I also think that can be of negative things. It can connect you and, you know, higher power can be bad power. You know, negative power can be higher power, not just like the good, like God and stuff. But I think things that can influence and control here, like a power that we can't control, maybe music can tap into that somehow, or those powers can use music to tap into you. So I don't know. Music's a weird thing. Interesting that this story, you know, the devil from the Bible is the devil, going after a musician.
It's really cute that you're going to defeat me with the power of friendship and all, but again, I am the devil from the Bible.
Except precisely.
There's also strange accounts of traveling English evangelist George Whitefield, who in 1740, so not modern day evangelist, but 1740 found himself in New England at a church in Ipswich, Massachusetts.
Oh, we're going to get. Yeah.
Ipswich?
Ipswich. Ipswich.
Ipswich?
Ips. Ipswich.
Ipswich. Yeah. I guess, yeah. My brain separates it as like the three and four.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense. Massachusetts. All you mass heads.
Actually, I think I've seen the road sign for Ipswich.
There you go. At this time, Whitefield apparently gave a fire and brimstone sermon and strongly lashed out against Satan to the point that the devil himself actually appeared out of anger to see all. According to all accounts, Whitefield rushed out to engage with the devil. He wrestled about, fought in full view of everyone. Toward the end, the pastor Whitefield issued forth a powerful command to his enemy to be gone, after which the beast supposedly tumbled off a cliff face and landed on the rocks below. Apparently landing on one foot of the skull of whatever he came from, leaving behind footprints that endure in the rocks to this day.
Wow.
And thus was the legend of the Ipswich devil footprints were born.
Interesting.
There's actually like little footprints you can find from the devil burning into the rock.
That's pretty cool.
Or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever that thing was. Huh, I didn't know about that.
Yep. So those are the more historical side of it. There were some modern-ish ones,
yeah. But
I now have some Reddit ones for you.
Wouldn't that be funny, though, if that whole story was like just a pastor trying to get, you know, drum up business or followers and stuff, and sets up this whole thing. Be gone, you devil! And it's just his friend in a suit, and he accidentally falls over a cliff.
So it's funny you said that. Have you ever seen Grimm?
Grimm.
Where the monsters, like dog, they're all real, but they hide as people.
I have not.
Most of them don't want to be messed with and don't want to mess with people.
Okay.
But some are, you know, some are out there to get stuff. So Grimm's normally, which is the people that can see, like...
There's always a turd in the punch bowl. Yeah.
But Grimms can see him without, like, without their camouflage.
Okay.
So they always, the Grimms appear. And then Grimms go out and murder all of them.
It's like owls seeing other owls.
Yes.
Okay.
So Grimms go out there and just murder everybody, like, that are these monsters.
Okay.
Most monsters, so modern day, most of the monsters don't want to be, like, don't want to mess with people. They live in society, like... So the main character doesn't want to do that. He just wants to, like, he only kills the bad ones, like... So there was this
evangelical preacher.
Yeah, there you go. You couldn't say it for a second either.
I couldn't. Yeah,
came forth, and he was a dragon one.
Oh, an evangelist.
Evangelist. There we go. Thank you. He came forth as a dragon. He was a dragon one.
Okay,
and he had acted like the devil was possessing him, and he'd flash like what he looked like, what he actually looked like, which is a big red lizard.
Yeah,
and then he'd be like, "I cast the devil out." And so they're like, "You're scamming people." And he's like, "No, I really believe in the faith. This is just, I'm using what I was given to show people, you know, blah, blah, blah." He wasn't the bad guy in the episode, but everybody thought he was the bad guy because he's a big red dragon.
Ah, okay. Who was the bad guy?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Very anticlimactic.
Don't remember.
He wasn't the bad guy. Oh, well, who was it?
Because it was the obvious one, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
Because
yeah.
People from his parish started disappearing. So they
figured the red dragon,
the big red
them.
Dragon that's pretending to be like possessed by the devil,
yeah,
is killing him. No, so I got some Reddit ones for you. Just encounters with the devil from Reddit.
Okay,
just to kind of, because I've been using a little bit more of the Reddit ones to sprinkle in. I can't prove any of them exist or happened or whatever, but you get more modern day encounters with devil like things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from a Reddit user. Before I start my story, it's important to clarify that paranormal activity in the United States isn't the same here as it is in Mexico. From where my father is from, who I heard the story from. Here, at least from my experience, it seems that there's nothing more than a cool and sometimes taboo subject to be into, sometimes people consider it as sort of a hobby. In Mexico, on the other hand, it is such a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
In this part of the culture, the same stories that our great grandparents heard are the same ones we pass down: La Llorona, Durins, Nero's, Barras, and the devil himself. We all taught to treat these things with respect and never take them lightly. To us, it is more than just witnessing an old chair move or a blurry security camera photo, maybe hearing footsteps in an empty room. It's a deep part of our culture. My father is not the type of man to seek attention. He's humble, honest, hardworking man, and as a result, you wholeheartedly believe him. Since he could remember that he had misfortune being more sensitive to the paranormal than most. What I mean by this is that through his life, he found himself face to face with most of the stories we were warned about. Even now, as a growing man, our entire family has grown accustomed to experiencing more than our fair share. It's almost to some of these stuff following us, and not him around us, but us too. This particular story takes place in Mexico when he was maybe 8 or 9 years old. He was accompanying his grandfather, who at the time was working as a watchman at one of his friend's stores. This specific store functioned as a warehouse similar to the stores like Costco, Sam's Clubs, but just on a much smaller scale.
Okay.
It was around 11 o'clock when they arrived, well past sunset into the night. My great-grandfather and his friend had struck a deal that whenever he was on his shift, he could help himself to anything he wanted to eat as long as he kept a list in order to make sure it wasn't marked down as stolen inventory. As they were getting ready for the night, my dad was told that he could choose anything he wanted to eat. My dad was excited to hear this. It wasn't often he was given the opportunity to choose anything from the store that wasn't necessary without having to worry about having enough to pay for it. He wanted to make sure that he made the most of his opportunity. He decided to go around the store and look for what he wanted the most. He finally made up his mind and settled for a bottle of chocolate milk.
Perfect. My dude.
You know, I drink chocolate milk.
Oh, same here.
He started to make his way around the store and eventually found himself wandering the halls in search of a refrigerator aisle. After figuring out it was in the very back of the store, He hurriedly rushed towards the low buzzing of a dozen refrigerators. After running past the aisles, he suddenly turned onto the last aisle, and all he remembered of seeing was an indescribable feeling of not only pure terror and true fear, but also an endless sense of despair and depression.
Hmm.
So fear, despair, and depression, like this overpowering feeling.
Yeah.
Now, before I continue on with the story, where have you heard those feelings come from in other entities? Let's see if you remember.
Bigfoot.
There is some of that with Bigfoot. No, I was going with gray alien encounters.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
With
yeah.
these, like, we talked about some of the local ones we've had and stuff like that. This overall just sense of just...
dread.
Dread.
Yeah.
And it happens with Bigfoot, too, and stuff like that. We talked about that a ton with Bigfoot, but...
maybe not the depression. Well, the depression, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some. The infrasound.
Yeah. But this is just, like, a wall of feelings.
Right, yeah.
As he turned the corner, he was face-to-face with a tall, thin man. My father tells me this man had to be at least 2 meters tall. His initial reaction was to turn and run away from him, but he couldn't. It was more that he was being paralyzed with fear. He felt an endless empty pit inside himself all around him. He didn't remember the face of the man. He doesn't know much of how much time had passed. So we have a tall man in missing time.
Yep.
He had lost his sense of where he was, and at the time, he could not, for the life of him, tell anything except the fact that it was him and this man in front of him. He does remember, however, that this man was neatly groomed, seemed very well kept, dressed in a very fine suit.
As the devil would.
Despite not remembering his face, he does recall what it was staring right at him. So, before I continue, my shadow person encounter, I didn't see eyes, but I could tell it was staring
at you.
Right at me. But you almost get mirrored men and smiling men vibes.
I was getting Indrid.
Indrid. I don't know if it's Indrid, but you know, the not smiling like, man that was also seen around it. Like this.
Not necessarily him in particular, but that's
even
that
some
thing.
Like modern day spooky pasta, like Slenderman stuff.
There you go.
This big, tall, thin, well dressed, well groomed man.
Did you say spooky pasta?
What is it? Creepy pasta?
Yeah, but I like
spooky pasta.
Yeah, that's better.
He does not remember what happened after. He only remembers coming to his senses on the floor in his grandfather's arms, being questioned about what happened. His face was full of tears. All he could manage was to choke out that the man was there. The man was there. Over and over. His grandfather's first thought is somebody had broken in and rushed his father back to the front of the store. The only lockable room in the location was the owner's office. He told my father to wait inside. No matter what he heard, do not open the store for anyone. He would be back soon to check on him to make sure the store was safe. But the memory of the man was still too fresh in the father's mind. And he decided he'd rather brave running into the man again with his grandfather by his side rather than remaining alone in the store. Despite his grandfather believing it wasn't safe, he could see the terror in his father's eyes. The terror in my father's eyes.
Yes.
And compiled with his wishes. After checking through each and every corridor, despite that the store was safe, they both headed back to the office where my dad explained everything. For the most part, it seemed to be an isolated incident. As my grandfather later that morning told the owner what had happened, he claimed that it was the first he had heard of anything of that sort happening inside a store. It is worth nothing, however, that the store was torn down about 2 months after the incident. The owner seemed to give no explanation of, besides why he was tearing it down, besides it was losing money.
Yeah. You know, when my business is going to start losing money, my first choice is, let's just tear the whole thing down. Let's burn it.
So that's his dad's encounter with the devil.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
But very much a mix of paranormal entities. We have talked about before.
Whether it be the devil or some very demonic.
I really want to get into some of the Mexican stuff here soon, too.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of, like, La Llorona's, Latrusas, and stuff like that. The devil. Like, and it's weird that he was, this creature, this being appeared when he was having a deep desire for something.
Yeah, I just want that chocolate milk.
But it was something he was desiring very deeply, you know?
You get the choice of one thing in this.
So what if that's what summons the devil from the Bible?
Oh, I just now thought of something. Isn't this kind of like mirroring all those shows on TV, like Food Network, but those giveaway shows? You got 30 seconds to grab anything you want in the store. You know, that's like the devil tempting you. Like, you can have whatever you want. You just got to do it and look desperate on TV and then sign this contract and make me let me profit 10 times as much on people watching you and your desperation for free items. It's like the devil working, modern day.
There you go.
Yep. Preying on man's desires of things.
So the next one is titled My Encounter with the Devil. What we all know is wrong. I have compelled about writing this for a long time. Truth is, I don't know if this is real or if it's all in my head. Whatever this is, though, it has changed me many ways, and I know I'm in danger. We all are. Let's start from the beginning. The first time it happened, I was praying. I had recently lost my grandmother and was feeling lost. I decided I would turn to God to find peace and some answers and come to terms with her death. The chapel I was in was my grandma used to take me to. It was small and always very quiet. Not many people visit. I decided to go there to feel closer to her. As I walked in, I could see no one was there, which made me feel better. I really didn't want to lose it in front of a bunch of people. I sat down to enjoy the silence and started praying. Imagine my surprise in the middle of my prayer when I heard a little voice whisper, "I hear you." I jumped up and looked around. I was clearly alone, and I could not locate the source of the voice. I decided that it was a figment of my imagination and continued to pray. 5 minutes later, the voice got stronger. "You shouldn't be doing that." It was right in my ear, so close it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up and shivers down my spine. I turned around and I came face to face with a girl, maybe 11 years old. She was wearing a red dress and she was barefoot. Her hair was the darkest black I'd ever seen, and her eyes were also pitch black.
Wonderful.
I started screaming, but at the same time, I was immersed by her beauty, almost beckoning me. She said, "Shh," and put her finger on my mouth. "Do you want the Father to hear us?" Her touch was soothing and not threatening in any way, and I said, "Who are you?" Trying to fight back deep, pulling tears. So, before I continue, very much black-eyed kids feeling.
100%, yeah.
Where he's obviously still deeply afraid, but it's like a lure.
Right, yeah.
It's mimicking, you know, stuff. So, yeah. So, holding back tears. And she said to him, "I am the devil, the first unwanted." I started trembling, fearing this was the end for me. She moved closer as if reading my mind, and she said, "Don't worry, my child. I won't hurt you. I'm not the one you should be afraid of. I have come to warn you, as I have done to many others." A sudden noise, like whistling, made her stop talking, and I could see fear in her eyes. I tried to locate the source of the sound. By the time I turned around to face her, she was gone. Only her scent lingered, a lovely lavender scent. I stayed there, not moving, trying to listen for what felt like hours. I was sure I was going crazy and convinced myself it was all due to my grief and lack of sleep. But I closed the door behind me to head to my car, and I heard the whispers again. "Be careful." It had been a week since the incident. I'd almost forgotten about it. I could hear the occasional whisper and catch a glimpse of something red in the corner of my eye, but never anything specific. Fate would have it, I would go to pick up my mom from the bus station. The only way, yes, you guessed it, was past the chapel. The drive was uneventful until I got across right in front of the chapel. I was getting nervous remembering what had happened, so I turned the radio up loud and tried to relax. And that's when it came again, the smell, the whole car filled with a lavender smell. I looked up from the radio, and there she was. She was just standing there in front of the car. She looked exactly as she was before, but different at the same time, older, tired. I screamed and got out of the car. I started running into the field, behind me. I was losing it. My tears coming. I've succumbed to my fate. I turned around to face her as I could feel she was following me. "What do you want from me?" I screamed at her. She looked at me with a deep sadness in her eyes and came closer. "I want you to hear me out, child. I want to protect you. I'm running out of time and have to help me." I was lost for words, but somehow mastered enough courage to reply, "Me, help you? Aren't you supposed to be all-powerful and evil? Aren't you the devil? She came to me this time and smiled. My lovely child, yes, I was powerful once, but evil never. As for the name, I kind of hate it. You can call me Lilith.
Oh.
Somehow, in the distant whistling was heard again. I tried to speak, but she cut me off. Child, you have to understand that you know it's all wrong. The world is in danger. You have been taught many lies. You have been deceived. You have not the one to be afraid of. I'm not the one that's going to hurt you. I was God once. Hearing that, I started laughing, and laughing because I was sure I was going crazy. That could not be helped. The thing in front of me, Lilith, would claim to be God. But yeah, it goes on. She just keeps trying to trick him, but she grabbed me, my hand, and laughed hard. Child, you don't understand. I don't have much time. Can't you see I'm different? I'm getting older, even dying. You found the way to make this happen. And if I'm gone, there is no one to save you. See the lies. Believe me. Very devilly things.
Yeah.
Really trying to play on your heartstrings.
Sounds like someone like I Am the Science kind of thing would say.
Yeah. The whistling was heard again, closer. She squeezed my hand, profoundly urging and pleading. Whatever made me say the next words changed my life forever. Okay, let's say I start to believe you. How can I help you? What's happening? The wind picked up suddenly, and I saw her shivering. Not here, she said. I'll explain tonight in the chapel. Tell when you're going. Don't even think in your mind. He is everywhere. That's when she disappeared.
Yeah.
I left once thinking I was insane. And, you know, I then remembered about my mom. I checked the time. I was surprised to see no time had passed. Almost no seconds at all.
Wow.
I decided to do what I was told and not dwell in my head. I don't know if he was supposed to be or who the he was I was supposed to be afraid of. The rest of the drive was uneventful. So he came back to the chapel to visit. Suddenly she stood and proceeded to say she has a gift for me. She ran over to the car and brought a little package and gave it to me. I hope you, or this is mom, sorry. Hope you like it, my dear. This is the new perfume, try it. I thank her and proceed to open it, and the cap smell, and I froze. It was the lavender smell, the same smell. I tried my best to hide my horror and casually asked my mother where she'd buy this specific one. And retroactively, I wish I had never asked her because her answer chilled me. She explained that she was in the shop struggling to buy me a present when a girl approached her, roughly a girl my age, with a lovely red dress, had hair that was the darkest black she had ever seen in her eyes. My mom said she was instantly drawn to the girl and started chatting. The girl was really interested to hear that my mother had a daughter and asked all sorts of questions about me. She said the girl suggested the perfume because it was her favorite. My mother said the girl seemed sure that I would love the scent of lavender. I wish I could tell her how wrong she was. With this discovery in my mind, I decided I couldn't hear any more and found excuses to cut the conversation. A couple hours later, I said goodnight to my mom and headed home. It's that time, it was almost midnight. I made sure my mom was in bed. I went a bit until I fell asleep, ready to go to make my way to the chapel. I was terrified but determined to go in there. I said, okay, Lilith, I whispered as I got in my car. You have my attention. And that's where the encounter ends. So very devilly. Like,
yeah,
this whole plan on like transforming into vulnerable things, playing up the side of I'm the one that's, you know, I'm the one that's in trouble. I'm the one that needs help.
Yeah, yeah.
Help me, you know, kind of deal.
So he's dead.
Yeah, no, he's dead. That guy's dead. Yeah. That guy's dead.
Yeah. Long story short.
He's dead.
A dead man.
Lilith, I mean, if you want to learn more about Lilith, go on the confessionals. They just had Justin from Appalachian Intelligence on. They did a whole special on his encounters with Lilith.
That's crazy, which is
remarkably similar to the girl from this story.
Interesting. Same name, too. Weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah, I wonder why. Okay. Two more encounters, and then we'll talk about Jesus. Encounter with the devil. Some background. I'm a 25-year-old man who recently rediscovered my religion. I wouldn't consider myself a bad person, just someone who is prone to typical sin lived in the modern world. Aren't we all?
Right.
In particular, lust. I've always struggled with blocking lustful thoughts whenever I see women, even though I'm in a committed relationship. I was never religious growing up, but didn't grow up in a religious family. Never actively disbelieved, so I guess until recently you could say I would be placed in the agnostic group. What changed my mind was a strange event. One day I was driving home from my girlfriend's house. It was a nice day when the sun was out. I suddenly felt the hair on the back of my neck go up and be overcome with deep emotions. This is unusual. I am a very calm person who doesn't really feel emotional on any really strong level. But suddenly, I was in a flood of tears. Not sure why. I just knew God was with me in that moment. Since then, I tried to improve my relationship with God. I was praying before bed most nights. I listened to the teaching of the Bible in audio format. Admittedly, I could be doing more, but I feel like the journey was just beginning. In general, I was getting much happier lately. Before, I was agnostic over this decision, this direction that my life was going. But now I work hard to trust God and steer me in the right direction. I also appreciate the beauty in the world more than it was known, that and that amplifies the beauty. Also feeling a greater aptitude. So now I'm at my encounter. Last night while I was asleep, I kept dreaming. I was being waking up. However, I was still dreaming. Each time I woke up, I could feel the pure evil raising up within me as if I was a demon. And then that night, terrors before where I had felt this feeling rising of pure evil. Often in these dreams, a demonic figure was present. During the dream, I became aware of the feeling and knew that I had to pray to cast the demon out of me. I started to chant, "Praise the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ," over and over again, feeling the evil and demonic figure was gone. After this, I was granted, my eerie red light would seem to suck me in. All sounds was gone except for the noise resembling static TV.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's another one. The red light and a figure approached that could only be described as the devil himself with a deep, raspy voice saying, "You shall join me." I woke up for real. Safe to say, I was a bit perturbed by the dreams. I also found out the full moon. Don't know if that had anything to do with it. So this is this one's very Grey-esque to me too.
Okay, yeah.
Like abductions, the light, the waking up, the feeling of like nothing except this. And then Greys have the static TV.
Yeah.
Dogman encounters have had the static TV. Bigfoot encounters have had the static TV. Shadow people, mirrored men. It's just, I don't know if that's the same, if that's the sound equivalent,
yeah,
of the blacker than black.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? If it's
a common thread between them all though.
Mm-hmm. They're very paranormal. All right.
It might be, yeah. I can see static, as far as we talked about it too, you know, is the different dimensions and stuff being just on different frequencies.
And maybe when you're
between
transferring frequencies, you get the static.
Just like on a radio.
Yeah. I think you're onto it. I never thought of it like that. I think you're, yeah.
He's tuning in. He's tuning in.
One more for you, and then we'll talk some Jesus.
Let's bring some.
I know, it's getting hot.
Goodness,
in here.
It is.
It's also, I don't think it's because the devil's trying to get us. Well, it could be. I think it's more because it's 110 degrees outside
that's
and the door's been closed the whole time.
The devil.
I almost said something I'm just going to have to edit out.
Oh.
We don't edit on this show 99% of the time. Yeah. I don't want to.
That's devil odd words.
This happened to me about 3 years ago. It was myself and my wife walking downtown a busy, beautiful day. We walked up past a large stairs and below a bridge area into in front of a high-end restaurant Starbucks area. I noticed a man looking directly out the window, directly at me, and smiled when I was at the bottom of the staircase. When we got to the top, I noticed that everyone seemed to slow down. Even my wife was walking, but I was walking normal speed. He walked perfectly out behind a few people walking into the restaurant. He said, "Hey," then my name. I looked at him confused because I'd never seen him before. He was very well-dressed Indian man. I said, "Oh, hey," you know, And he says, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "No." He had the same evil smile when I looked up through the window and he was standing there before me and laughed. He mentioned where I knew him from, and it didn't make any connections, and he started telling me a lot about my own life, only things I would know about me. I kept noticing no one else around me was moving. I turned to grab my wife's hand, and he said, "I will see you later," and just walked through the same people he walked through before and disappeared. I asked my wife, did she see anyone or hear me talk about it? Only thing she said, I was standing there for just half a second. She didn't see anything. I'm not a religious person, but all of us wondering what it could mean. And I was coming up with all these thoughts, and the only thing I could rationalize is I met the devil. There you go.
Yeah, I could see that. It's almost like time, not lost, but...
I heard a very similar encounter with a leprechaun. And it was in New York City, where there was like literally a leprechaun between two escalators, like dancing.
Yeah.
And people are putting their money into like
a cup. Yep.
Until one guy noticed him.
And then he smiled, right?
And he smiled and took off running.
Yeah.
He was running around people, bumping into people. Nobody noticed this guy.
Yeah.
But he was like, it wasn't a dwarf. Wasn't a little person. It was a tiny.
A legitimate leprechaun. Yeah.
There you go. Any questions?
I don't got no questions, no. Let's bring some goodness.
Matthew 4, 1 and 2. When Jesus led up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And 2 is when he was fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and it was afterwards he hungered. So Jesus went to the wilderness to fast. If you grew up Christian or whatever, you know this story. If not, I'm going to give you the synopsis. When Jesus went into the wilderness, he had just been baptized. He was praying for his future ministry. For 30 years, he had been working as a carpenter in Joseph's shop. But now, in a turner of his life, it was about to change. He now embarked in his ministry, for he had the scent of the earth. And so Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Knowing that there's physical as well as the spiritual benefits to fasting, he fasted. So basically, he went out, and the devil showed himself in many different forms to him while he was out in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Turning stone into bread was the first temptation. He basically was saying, like, if you are the Son of God, you tell the stone to be bread, and it'll be bread.
Right.
He's like, look, I can do it.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm nobody. And then he started like saying that you could walk off this cliff and God would send the angels to save you and all this stuff. And I can, if you just worship me, if you bow to me one time, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. And he's like, all the kingdoms of the earth are already mine.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a synopsis of that story.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, encounters with the devil, but he did a very similar things. This promising, this deal making aspect, this shape-shifting aspect has been tied into the devil since the Bible. And all these stories have these similar threads. And we've talked about the great aliens being demonic, and I know I've made a mention, because these demonic encounters have a lot of threads that the great alien encounters have, and vice versa.
Right, yeah.
Why? How many stories have we read on the show or talked about where somebody says the name of God and the grays back off?
Right, exactly, yeah. It's like they're little demons.
And then we talked to Daryl about it, that the one group of grays was pretending, they're like, oh, no, remember, religion's not real.
Right.
And they're like, oh, no, 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 Jesus is real. He was one of us.
Right, exactly.
And they kept changing the story you know?
To get you to, just to tempt you.
Yeah.
To get your, the vulnerable, to believe them.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think about the devil from the Bible?
What do I think?
Well, it's the end of the episode, so.
Yeah.
I normally give possibilities.
I think I kind of gave my thoughts throughout the episode for each encounter, and you know, each one you brought up here, you know, had its own unique little thing to it, each story. So either way, don't take the deal.
Never take the deal. When Timothy came on,
yeah,
like the deal was kind of goofy, right? It was presented in a goofy way,
right?
But he's like, the guy just disappeared. Like, it wasn't like he was a paranormal entity.
Right, yeah.
So it could be a kid. And then the Black Eyed Kids connections with this, too.
Yeah.
These, like, overwhelming predator fears in Lilith being connected with all this stuff to the ancient evil Lilith. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of bad out there, and you need to don't accept contracts with paranormal entities.
There's no shortcuts on the road to success.
They have better lawyers than you.
That's sure, because I think most lawyers are one of them, for the most part.
Oh, I was like, one of what? But
the devil from the Bible.
The devil from...
It's really cute that you're going to defeat me with the power of friendship and all, but again, I am the devil from the Bible.
That one.
Yeah. No, it's just... I don't know. It's... I literally did this whole episode off of that one sound clip.
I 100% believe that.
Hour and a half long episode.
Yeah.
Everybody's asking for a long episode.
Yeah, I mean... Good encounters are good, not good encounters. Good.
I know what you meant.
Yes. Okay. Sounded awful.
A lot of historical stuff.
I'm trying to reword it now. Like
a lot of historical stuff with the factual stuff you can back up. And not just the Bible, you know, from the saints to.
Right. We got into a lot of
Reddit stuff.
And then I shared my little with the music stuff. I mean, It's a lot of threads. You have to always, I think a lot of people in society now aren't, one, if you're not religious, you're not going to know, but like being aware of the temptation that's constantly around you. Can someone that doesn't even believe in the devil or the Bible be tempted by the devil?
100%. 100%. So, I've shared this story about before with Mike Tyson and that new fighter. I can't think of black fighter.
Oh.
Was talking to him about it. Was like, oh no, he's like, and he's not really, this young fighter isn't really religious. I didn't know Mike Tyson was, but Mike Tyson's pretty religious. He's like, no, he's like, I'm obviously God's favorite. I've never struggled in a fight. I've never struggled anything in my life and all this. And he's like, and Mike was like, you know, God doesn't cause struggles, but he doesn't take them away.
Right.
The devil will put you on an easy path to keep you from turning to God.
Yeah.
So if you're walking down Easy Street your whole life, there's maybe he's like, who's reason. Really in your corner?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
There's something
to that's
it.
Been the devil from the Bible.
I've been J Clone 81.
I've been the great and powerful Mystery.
And we'll catch you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Crib is the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Hey, what are you still doing here?
You still hanging out?
Get out of here.
It's been a long freaking episode. Why are you still listening?
Man, you must be a true fan. And to support the truest of fans, the first person to email me that they heard this secret message at the end of the episode will get 2 free tickets to the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
October 5th, 2024.
Yeah. No idea why we're whispering.
In Ada, Ohio, because it's... It's just a little secret space and
a little secret.
You know, if they have their headphones turned up a little too loud, someone else might hear this info. So we gotta be keep it quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, there's your secret message. All right. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.